Almighty God, King of the universe, we thank thee, Father, for thy great love, for thy mercy, and thy great goodness. We thank you for Jesus Christ and him crucified, our only hope of glory. Father, be merciful and kind and patient with us, Father. If there's any sins on our heart, any unforgiveness in our hearts, we pray and we put it at the foot of the cross and plead the blood of Jesus that you might forgive us, that you might heal us and give us a heart of flesh and blood and take away our heart of stone, Father. Forgive our sins, we pray. You've heard of our sick and shut-ins. We pray that you bless and heal each and every one of them. We thank you, Father, for Nancy Chapman, and we pray that you continue to bless her and heal her and heal her foot where she fell. And thank you, Father, and heal her broken heart. And Jan, thank you for the good people that they are and that you've given us them. Thank you, Father, for Fred Vaughn, and we pray that you make his passing easy and that you help him and that you strengthen Stephanie and Jada and that you be with them and that you send your angels and take him in the hollow of your hand. Please, you know that he's confessed and asked that he want to be forgiven of any sins on his heart, and so we pray and trust that into your hands that all those things are done. We pray, Father, for Manuel that's going back to school. We pray that you bless him, help him, give him a steady mind, that he can keep his mind on his studies, that he might go forward to make the wonderful preacher that we know that he will in the kingdom of God. Be with our ministries here, Father. Be with Eric and be with our prison ministry and our hospital ministry. Be with our feeding ministry and Larry and John, the people that do the work and the serving downstairs. Please bless everyone, every person that cleans here, and all those who work and volunteer here. Thank you for their service. Thank you for our bus ministry. And we pray that you continue to keep them safe and continue to bless our works. Thank you, Father, for the ability to feed the poor, and we bless that you bless every hand that gives and every hand that takes today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, welcome our worldwide radio audience to the regular worship of the Main Street Church of Christ. I want to welcome Radio North Texas, 1630 AM North Texas, Radio Abilene, Radio Searcy, Arkansas. Three stations now are simulcasting us in Arkansas. Radio Oklahoma City, Radio Nashville, Tennessee, that covers Tennessee, Kentucky, and Alabama, and of course, Worldwide Christian Radio. We're broadcasting, it's hard to imagine, we're going out of here to over 3 billion people in our broadcast area. All of the East Coast of the United States, Canada and Alaska, Mexico, South America, Central America, all of Africa, all of Europe, Eastern Europe, all the Middle East, Russia, the Ukraine, all the way over to half of India is receiving our broadcast as we speak right now this morning. I want to welcome all of those that are not free to worship in their own countries because their freedoms are interfered with. We pray that they'll continue to worship in their homes. We had 5,300 house churches that visited our website last month that downloaded an astounding 32,737 sermons from our website, 32,000. Our previous high had been 27,000. Now, I'm going to tell you now, it has nothing whatsoever to do with the preacher. It has to do with the Word of God, and that's all. He makes us a promise that His Word will not return void. If you'll open your Bibles with me this morning to Luke chapter 15, I'm going to do an introduction to this chapter and really do about the first 10 verses, but we're going to go all over the Bible to do that. Luke chapter 15, we'll begin in verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans, sinners, for to hear him. The love of the Savior had attracted a very needy group. Publicans were those people who worked for the Roman authorities and received the taxes that the Roman government charged upon people. They bought their tax right. It'd be like a station on the turnpike out here. If you want to take the toll road, Well, you could buy a station on that turnpike, and every car that went through there, you'd charge a tax to, and so you'd pay a certain amount for that station, say you'd pay $1,000 a week for that station, and everything you charged above the $1,000 a week would be your money, and so that's the way the publicans did. They bought the right to tax for the Romans, and everything that they could raise above what they paid, they got to keep for their own selves. Now, sinners were people who openly broke the law of Moses. And so the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." And so Jesus had attracted a very needy group of people. The searching love of God is the purpose of Christ's coming into the world. John 3:16, that famous verse, says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans chapter 5, verse 6 says, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." He didn't die for good people, he died for the ungodly. Romans 5, 8, "But God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." A wonderful message. Luke chapter 15, verse 2. "And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Jesus is criticized by these shepherds of Israel. Here on one hand we have the sinners, and on the other hand we have the shepherds of Israel. And Jesus is criticized by these shepherds of Israel. You can almost hear them say, "Why does he waste time with them?" The psalmist could say in a rhetorical question, "And what is man that thou art mindful of him?" What is man? What is these sinners that you'd spend time with them? Why do you waste time with them? God had long ago spoken of these ceremonially clean and ritualistically proper shepherds and doctors of the law in Isaiah chapter 56, verse 10 through 12, where Isaiah says, "His watchmen are blind, they're all ignorant, they're all dumb dogs, they cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. Yea, they are greedy dogs which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They look to their own way, and every one to his gain, and from his quarter. Come ye, say they, I will fetch wine, and we will fill ourselves with strong drink, and tomorrow shall be as this day, and the much more abundant." And so these people thought that they could just drink and live any kind of life that they wanted to live, and that God wasn't interested in the type of lives that they lived, and so they could just be claimed to be ritualistically pure. And so we see God's attitude towards them in Isaiah chapter 65, verse 5, which say, "Stand by thyself, come not near me, for I'm holier than thou. These are a smoke in my nose and a fire that burneth all the day." You've seen the stuck-up, self-righteous hypocrites in the world that say, "Stand by yourself, don't come close to me. Don't come close to me because I'm holier than thou." And God sees that, God knows that, and God knows better. And so this is one of the type of attitudes that these shepherds of Israel had. Now, when we look at history, I've drawn you a timeline here to try to help you understand history. The law of Moses was given in 1447 B.C., roughly. And that was the time of the giving of the law at Mount Sinai. King David lived about 1000 B.C. He actually lived about 1011 B.C. to 971 B.C., and he ruled during that period of time. Now, Isaiah the prophet that we just read, he wrote between 700 and 750 B.C. He wrote about his very time that he lived in, But he prophesied many things of the Christ that was coming in the future, and so did all of the prophets. Now Jeremiah, the next prophet that we have in line here, Jeremiah is writing about 586 BC, the temple was destroyed. And Jeremiah wrote for about 10 years prior to the destruction of the Jerusalem and the temple, warning the people that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, was coming to destroy the temple. And here he's going to tell them what for. So if you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 23, we'll look at Jeremiah 23 verse 1. We'd first like to encourage our radio audience to visit the Church of Christ nearest your home, or go to our website at www.mainstreet-churchofchrist.com for free downloadable a cappella singing and Fair to Midland gospel preaching on there. I've been asked this past week to tell people what that Fair to Midland means. Fair to Midland, in case you're not from Texas, is a grade of cotton. It just means average cotton. And so I'm just saying average preaching on there. So let's look at Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 1. Woe be to the pastors. Now, pastor and shepherd is the same word. So these are the shepherds of Israel, the leadership, the rulers of Israel. Woe be to the pastors to destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I'm against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, and ye have not visited them. Now you see that word visited? In the New Testament, the office of bishop and overseer comes from a Greek word, episkopos. Now there are six different Greek words, three different Greek words that are translated in six English words that describe the same office. Shepherd and pastor, bishop and overseer, presbyter, and elder are all the English words that describe the same office. A bishop is the same thing as an elder, is the same thing as an overseer, is the same thing as a pastor, same thing as a shepherd, same thing as a presbyter. So these six English words are described by three Greek words. One of those words, episkopos, King James had insisted that the translators keep the Catholic words that were in the Bible and translate the word bishop. And so they translated episkopos as bishop in the New Testament in the King James translation of the Bible. Several times that word is used and it doesn't mean a bishop, and guess how it's translated? Every time it's translated visit. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who as episkopos visited his people. Pure religion, undefiled before God and the Father, is this, to visit episkopos, the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and keep thyself unspotted from the world. For I was sick, and you episkopos, you visited me. Then later in Matthew 25, Jesus puts those words together and not only visited the sick, he says, I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you visited me. And so in all of those terms, episkopos is used, so that ought to tell us something. If somebody is going to be an elder, what should they be doing? They should be visiting the flock. They should be looking out for the flock. This is the very complaint that God has to Jeremiah about his shepherds in the Old Testament. We want to make sure that if there are ever shepherds in this church here, we don't have elders now. We wish we had elders. We just don't have any qualified. But if we ever have any, I guarantee you they'll be visiting. That'll be one of the great jobs that they'll be doing. Look back to Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I'm against the pastors that feed my people. You have scattered my flock and driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings, saith the Lord. And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries whither I have driven them, and I will bring them again unto their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Jeremiah is writing in 586. He's already told them the temple in Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, but he can see beyond that. He can see that there's going to be a gathering again of the Jews. He's saying that at some point I'm going to gather you back again, and at some point you're going to have decent shepherds. And when's that going to be? And I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all the countries. See, when they were gathered before, they were gathered out of Egypt. Now they're going to be gathered out of the countries, out of Babylon, and all the countries where Nebuchadnezzar scattered them. I'll gather my flock out of the countries whither I've driven them, and bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them, and this church of Christ is coming in the future. And I will set up shepherds over them that shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. Behold, a day comes, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. Now you see that word branch there, it's capitalized. You see that in your translation? The reason it's capitalized is that the translators of the Bible understood that this is a word for the Christ. It's just a messianic prophecy that's used by Jeremiah. It's used by Zechariah later. It was used by Isaiah chapter 11 to describe the Christ. And I will raise up unto David a righteous branch. In other words, a descendant of King David, a righteous branch. And a king, this descendant of King David will be a king. Jesus will be a king. And a king shall reign and prosper and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. He's doing that right now today. Jesus is king today. And if he rules in our hearts, he's reigning and executing justice in the earth if we're doing justice. And in his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel shall dwell safely. These are just poetic words because the new Israel is the church, the kingdom of God, and the new Judah is the church. And this is the name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. And Jesus is the righteousness of God. Romans 1, 16 and 17 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Then he goes on to say in verse 17, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." So Jeremiah had prophesied that in the future, the bad shepherds that's going to be destroyed when the temple is destroyed, when all of those people are destroyed, in the future, God's going to raise up good shepherds. Jeremiah is a miracle of a book that it's even found in your Bible. Let me tell you the story quickly of Jeremiah. The people are being told by all the false prophets in Jerusalem, the Nebuchadnezzar's not ever going to come into this city. He's not going to destroy this city. We're going to overcome them. We're going to win. There's no problem with this war. And Jeremiah's saying he's going to destroy every one of us. He's going to destroy this city. Surrender to Nebuchadnezzar. You don't have a chance. And so the false prophets is saying we're going to win. And Jeremiah's saying, no, you're not going to win. You're going to be destroyed. It's a judgment of God that's coming upon you for burning your babies to Baal. And so they all follow the false prophets. Jerusalem is destroyed. Why would they take and throw away those Jews? Now, Nebuchadnezzar put a rope around their neck and let them all off as slaves back to Babylon. Why would they throw away a letter that their granddaddy wrote and keep the book of Jeremiah? Why would they do that? Well, their granddaddy proved to be a false prophet, and Jeremiah proved to tell the truth. That's why they kept the book of Jeremiah. And so they went to Babylon. They went in captivity into Babylon, and guess what they took with them? They took the book of Jeremiah with them. That's what they took with them. Now let's go to Ezekiel. Ezekiel is writing during the captivity in Babylon. The 34th chapter, Ezekiel chapter 34. He's writing about 576 B.C. They've been in captivity about 10 years in Babylon. Now, he's talking about shepherds again. Ezekiel 34, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flock? What do you feed the flock? You feed the flock the word of God. That's what the flock's to be fed. And so they're not feeding the flock the word of God. Now this is written during the captivity. He's prophesying about something that's going to be happening. He's talking about the state of the shepherds when Christ comes. He's talking about those scribes and Pharisees, those doctors of the law, those hypocrites that then drew nigh unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the scribes and Pharisees murmured and said, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about the shepherds of Israel when the Messiah comes, and I'm going to prove that to you in just a minute. Verse 3. Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe yourselves with the wool. You get the results, all of the goodness of the church. You eat the fat, the very best things, and you get the wool. You clothe yourself with the fleece of the sheep. You fleece the sheep, and you get to clothe yourself with the wool. You kill them that are fed, but you feed not the flock. The diseased have you not strengthened. See, it was the work of a priest and of the shepherds in those days to give home remedies to people, to be involved in their lives, to care about them, and then be involved in their lives. I often tell you, soak that in Epsom salts and stuff like that. I have a bunch of home remedies. Every priest ought to do that. The disease you have not strengthened. Neither have ye healed that which was sick. Neither have ye bound up that which was broken. Neither have ye brought again that which was driven away. Anytime somebody's driven out of the church, you're supposed to, if you're in leadership in the church, you're supposed to go find them and try to bring them back again. Neither have you sought that which was lost, but with force and cruelty have you ruled them. Sure sounds like the scribes and Pharisees, doesn't it? And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field where they were scattered. Because the sheep were scattered and they weren't fed and they weren't taught the word of God, then they became prey to the devil. Now when the Jews went into captivity, in the Babylonian captivity, instead of the leadership of the Jews teaching the children of Israel the Bible, they wrote the Babylonian tabloid. They wrote the rabbinical sayings. They wrote the Mishnah and all of their Jewish writings and all of their Jewish teaching and all their doctrines and traditions of men. Jesus said in Matthew 15:9, for they worship me, in vain do they worship me after the doctrines and the traditions of men. So instead of teaching the Word of God to people, they're teaching their traditions, they're teaching their doctrines, they're teaching the Babylonian tabloid to people. And they're making them a prey to the devil. I'm telling you, there's no protection from the devil except with the Word of God. Verse 6, My sheep wandered through the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. And that's our job if we're in leadership in the church, is to seek all of those that are lost, especially those that have wandered from the foe. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock has become a prey, and my flock has become meat to every beast of the field, and because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves, and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I'm against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand. I'm telling you, every person in leadership in the church is going to give an account of the flock of God. Every person in leadership. And cause them to cease from feeding the flock. God will cause you to cease. If you're feeding the flock and you're not doing it right, God will cause you to cease. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, and I will deliver my flock out of, from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. The word of God says that the shepherds of Israel won't search for the sheep, so God himself is going to come and do it. Now, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who was Jesus? He was God. What did he come to do? He came to seek and to save that which is lost. This is talking about God coming in the form of Jesus, searching for his sheep, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. That's what Jesus came for. Both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that is among the sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all the places wherein they have been scattered in a cloudy and a dark day. And I will bring them out from among the people and gather them from the countries, from the Babylonian captivity, back to the land. When the Christ comes, they will be have been gathered back to the land and bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. Down to verse 22. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between the cattle and the cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. David has been dead for 500 years. He is the seed of David. It is Jesus Christ who was declared to be the Son of God and the seed of David according to the flesh. Romans 1:3 teaches us. I will set up, even my servant David shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant of David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. And so Romans 1:3 says, concerning Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of this the seed of David according to the flesh. And so that's exactly who that is prophesying about, Jesus Christ our Lord. And Christ came, and he shepherded the flock. Now let's go to Zechariah. It's the end of the captivity period in Babylon. And so they're come back to the land. And the minor prophets have come back, and the minor prophets are writing. Haggai and Zechariah are writing about 520 B.C. And it's about 516 B.C. and the temple is being rebuilt again. Between 520 and 516, the temple is being rebuilt again, and God is talking about shepherds in Zechariah chapter 11. So we're at a period of time, 516, but God is looking forward to the time of the Christ again and looking forward to what has the shepherds become in Israel by the time the Christ comes. Then gathered together all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the scribes and the Pharisees murmured and said, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. Zechariah chapter 11. Open thy doors, O Lebanon, that the fire may devour thy cedars. Lebanon signifies the temple, because the temple was built out of cedars and the things that came from Lebanon. God is looking past the cross to 70 AD when the destruction of Jerusalem comes, and he's going to tell us why Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. Why they're going to be destroyed is because of the shepherds of Israel that were in the land from the time of Christ up until the destruction of Jerusalem. What did they do wrong? Well, they just murdered the Son of God. They murdered all the apostles. They murdered all the first century prophets. They murdered Christians for 40 years. That's all they did. They killed the saints for 40 years. Why wouldn't God destroy them? If they were right, do you think that that temple had ever got burnt to the ground? Zechariah 11, verse 2. How fir tree and the cedar is fallen because the mighty are spoiled. Hallow ye oaks of Bashan. Bashan is the fat cats, the bulls of Bashan. Remember we studied not long ago. For the forest and the vintage has come down. There is a voice of the howling of the shepherds, for their glory is spoil. A voice of roaring young lions, for the pride of Jordan is spoil. Verse 4. Thus saith the Lord my God, feed the flock of the slaughter. Christians are supposed to be teaching this flock between 30 AD and 70 AD because it's a flock that set aside the slaughter. If you don't feed them and bring them out of Judaism, they're going to be slaughtered. All the Jews are going to be killed or taken into captivity of Rome. And every person that you convert to Christianity out of Jerusalem, out of Judaism, is taken out of the flock of slaughter and brought into Christianity. Feed the flock of slaughter. Those possessors slay them. Let's drop down to verse 6. For I will no more pity the inhabitants of the land, saith the Lord, but lo, I will deliver the men, every one, into his neighbor's hands, into the hand of his king. The Romans are coming, and they shall smite the land, and out of their hands I will not deliver them. Verse 7, and I, God himself, and I will feed the flock of slaughter, even you, O poor of the flock. Christ came to the poor and the meek and the downtrodden, didn't he? And he came and he fed the poor of the flock. God himself came in the form of Christ and did that. Drop down to verse 9. Then said, I will not feed you. Let's drop down to verse 10. Now here's a beautiful poetic language God says, and I took my staff, even beauty. You see how that's capitalized? God's telling us this is talking about the Messiah. I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder that I might break my covenant that I made with all the people. When did God make a covenant with all the people? Well, at Mount Sinai. And that covenant became the law of Moses. And when did God break the law of Moses that he made with all the people? Taking the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us and nailing it to his cross, that's when he took and broke the covenant that he made with all the people. Now this staff beauty, what that meant, was that a shepherd had two staffs. And one of them, he dipped the end of it in a red stuff that gave a red color to the end of the stick. And every tenth lamb that ran into the sheepfold, he'd mark the back of that tenth lamb with the red lamb, and that was the one that was set apart to sacrifice unto God. God that got a tenth part of everything of his flock, he'd mark the back of that lamb. The other staff had a crook on the end of it, and he could reach out and get the sheep by their horns or by their hooves and bring them to himself. And so he takes his staff, even beauty. He's going to do away with the sacrifice in the temple. And I took my staff, even beauty, and cut it asunder that I might break my covenant that I made with all the people. He made the covenant at Mount Sinai with all the people. He gave them the law of Moses. And it was broken in that day. And so the poor of the flock waited upon me, God. They waited upon God and knew that it was the word of the Lord. Jesus is the word of the Lord, the word that made flesh, right? So the poor of the flock knew that this was God's doing and that it was Jesus who was the word of the Lord. Now we got Judas. Judas. Here's a prophecy of Judas, verse 12. And I said unto them, if you think good, give me my price, not forbear. So they weighed for my price, 30 pieces of silver. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 14, Jesus went to the high priest and said, what will you give me that I might deliver him unto you? And they coveted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that day he sought opportunity to betray him. Verse 13, and the Lord said unto me, cast it to the potter a goodly price, that I, God, that I was price set of them. And I took the 30 pieces of silver and cast them to the potter in the house of the Lord. Now in Matthew chapter 27, verse 3 through 7, you see the fulfillment of that prophecy, that Judas takes the bag of the snitch money back and tries to return it to the chief priest. They won't touch it. They say, no, no, that's blood money. We won't take it. He throws it down in the temple and walks off, and they take the 30 pieces of silver and go buy a potter's field with it. But a potter's field's not worth 30 pieces of silver. They got one of their cousins or brother-in-law or somebody's got an old junk, old gravel pit out here, and they say, well, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver for that. And so it was an inside deal, and they built a great big tomb there to the Anais family, archaeology tells us, and that tomb was built to one of the high priest's families. And so he bought it and claimed it used to be a potter's field, and potter's fields where all the strata of clay has been taken out, and nothing's left but the rock. Now, verse 14. Then I cut asunder my other staff, even bands. Now, bands is a staff with a crook end that you use to bring the sheep in. I cut asunder my other staff, even bands. See, that's capitalized. That means a Messiah too. That I might break the brotherhood between Judah and Israel. And so no longer is salvation going to be found in the house of Israel. It's going to be found in the kingdom of God. In this new way that God has, it's going to be found in the kingdom of God and in the church of Christ is the way salvation is going to be found. Verse 15, now the Lord said unto me, take ye yet the instruments of a foolish shepherd. What's the instruments of a foolish shepherd? Well, a staff with no crook. A bag with no food in it. All the things that is necessary for the work of a shepherd, he doesn't have. So take ye the instruments of a foolish shepherd, for lo, I raise up a shepherd in the land that shall not visit. There again is the job of an elder is to visit those that be cut off. Neither shall he seek the young one, he should care about the young people in the kingdom of God, nor heal that is broken, nor feed that standeth still. What do you feed the sheep? The word of God. But he shall eat the flesh of the fat. He's going to take all the money he can take and tear. Notice in the King James it says their claws and pieces. Actually, the better word there is their hooves and pieces. Woe be to the idle shepherd that leadeth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. And the arm of the Lord always means the saving power of God. And the right eye means the ability to see light. And so what that means, the sword upon his arm, means he won't be able to save himself as he thinks. Neither will he have any enlightenment. And so God is going to take away both the ecclesiastical power, the church power away from Israel, and he's going to take away the government power from Israel too. Woe be the idle shepherd that leadeth the flock. The sword shall be upon his arm and upon his right eye. His arm shall be clean dried up, and his right eye shall be utterly dark. And so we see the result of these things. God, throughout the Old Testament, has prophesied what these phony shepherds, what these phony doctors of the law are going to be like. Back now with me now to Luke chapter 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. The love of the Savior has attracted a very needy group. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. Now, murmured means talk among themselves in whispers in little groups. Then the scribes and Pharisees murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Well, Jesus' attitude is guilty as charged because he's doing their work. And he spake this parable unto them, verse 3. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, who is the them? Well, to the scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, the doctors of the law. The sinners and the publicans have already drew near to him. It's only the shepherds of Israel that's afar off. That's who he's speaking the parable to. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he findeth it? Can't you imagine their reaction to that? Why, it doesn't make good sense to leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one lost sheep. Well, it's not natural. It's not human. A shepherd who had 100 sheep in Israel was a very prosperous man. You can certainly bet he didn't get that way by throwing good money after bad. I'm telling you now, it's time to cut our losses. It doesn't make sense to leave the 99, a whole pack of wild dogs or coyotes is liable to come and get them. It doesn't make sense to leave the 99 and go after the lost one. It doesn't make good sense at all. It's bad business. It's time to cut our losses and just write it off. This parable is what God is like. This is not what man is like. This is what God is like. God is better than man. God is kinder than man. Israel was the flock of God, Psalms 100, verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Matthew chapter 15, verse 24. But he answered and said, I am not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. The Lord is the shepherd, Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. John chapter 10, verse 11, Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 14, I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and I am known of mine. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, the Hebrew writer tells us, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant. Yes, the lost sheep, one lost sheep. How could the shepherds of Israel not put it together? Isaiah 53, verse 6. Who's that lost sheep? Well, it's you and me. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. And we've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid upon him, on Jesus, the iniquity of us all. These scribes, these Pharisees, these hypocrites, these doctors of the law, they're supposed to know the book of Isaiah. If they had their twiddly-dee-dee, they'd know the book of Isaiah. But instead, they knew their doctrines and their traditions of men. They knew the Babylonian Talmud. They knew that. But they didn't know Isaiah 53. Notice in Luke chapter 15, 4 that go after that which was lost until he findeth it. The searching love of God for sinners is until he finds it. It's not just look, it's not just search, but it must be found. The Greek word there is eons. It's a word of continuance. It means to go as far as it takes until and as long as necessary until it's found. It's a never-ending search. The sheep must be found. And Luke 19:10 tells us, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which is lost. Luke chapter 15, verse 5. And when he had found it, he layeth it upon his shoulders, rejoicing. A shepherd, when he found his sheep in those days, would take him and throw him across his shoulders, because it was easier to carry him home than it was to try to herd him home and get him to go home the right way and get him to run along and go home. It was a lot easier to just throw him across your shoulders and carry him. And so in Isaiah chapter 40, the beginning of those messianic prophecies, the prophecy this chapter is talking about John the Baptist and his work in introducing the Christ. And then he tells us what Christ is going to be like in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 10 and 11. Behold, the Lord God will come with a strong hand. God's going to come in the future on the earth, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work goeth before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom and gently lead those that are with the young. What's Christ going to be like? He's going to be like the gentlest of all shepherds. He's going to be wonderful. That's what his name is. Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah chapter 46, verse 3. Hearken to me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnants of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly. I'm telling you, God has carried me all of my life. From the time that before I was born, while I was in my mother's belly, God was interested in me, which was born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. From the time I was born, he's carried me. He's worked through my stupidity, through my sin, through my obstinance in life. He's worked and worked and worked, and all of it was a training to get me right where I'm at right now, and it was the same way for you too, if you're a Christian. Which are carried from the womb. Verse 4. And even to your old age I am he. And even to your hoar hairs. Now that means gray hairs. That's just an old King James word. It means even till your hair turns gray. Do you think my hair's turned gray? Now, I'm dying it this way. It's not really gray. You can see a picture of me out there in the lobby of before I started to dye my hair. Back 40 years ago, you can see a picture of me before I started to dye my hair. Even to your hoar hairs I will carry you. I have made and I will bear and I will carry you and I will deliver you. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 25. For you were as sheep going astray, but now are returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. It's verse 6. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and his neighbors, saying unto me, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. Oh, how wonderful. Has Jesus carried you home yet? Then you must come to Jesus. That's your only hope. Just remember, all we like sheep have gone astray and turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on Jesus the iniquity or the sin of us all. Those strong arms were stretched out on the cross for you. And I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than the 99 just persons that needs no repentance. Joy in heaven over sinners that repent. In Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the paths of life. In thy presence is the fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. How wonderful it is. Psalms 89:15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. We sing a song about that, don't we? We've heard the joyful sound. Isn't that a great song? Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. They shall work, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. And in thy name shall they rejoice all the day. And in thy righteousness shall I be exalted. Psalms 132:16. I will clothe her priests with salvation. All Christians are kings and priests to God, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5 through 9. I will clothe her priests with salvation, and her saints shall shout aloud for joy. And then Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 12:1, that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou hast comforted me. Blessed are all those that mourn, for they shall be comforted. I'm telling you, if you will mourn for your sins, God will receive you and comfort you. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah, Yahweh, is my strength and my song. And he also is become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall you draw waters out of the wells of salvation. Now, what in the world could that mean? Upon the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus cried with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. For as the Scripture saith, he that believeth on me out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Yes, you'll draw waters of salvation. And what was that talking about? John tells us. It says, this spake he of the Spirit that should be given because the Holy Ghost was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So if you want rivers of living water to flow out of your belly, you got to come to Jesus to drink. You got to come and have your sins washed away. Then out of your belly too shall flow rivers of living water. It's an awesome responsibility to be a shepherd in Israel today in the Church of Christ. So if you're lucky enough to be at a congregation that has shepherds, then you need to obey them and be subjection to them. In Hebrews 13, verse 17 says, obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, that they must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable to you. I have been accused of saying that this is my flock. And in some ways, I think of it as it is. Not that I'm the one that died for you and saved you, but it's the one. You're the people that I've taught. Some of you can hold your hand up today and say that I've taught and baptized you. Some of you can say that I've led you to the Lord. Some of you can say that I've taught you here. Well, the simple fact of the matter is I feel responsible for you. I love each and every one of you, and I try to hug each and every one of you and love on each and every one of you. Because someday, I'm going to have to stand before God and give an account for you. And so will every other leader in this church. And I don't want ever to drive none of you away or cause any of you to stumble in any way. I love your souls, and I want you to go to heaven. Every one of you, I want you to go to heaven. And I am worried about myself when I'm looking out for you because I got to give an account someday. In order to protect the guilty, I'll change the names to protect the guilty. But let's say that there's John Henry Brown who's an addict, and he brought me his bank card. And he gets a big government check every month, but I've told you that that's one of the worst things that can happen to you is you get a big government check, especially if you know where the dope house is. So he gave me his card, and he said, Brother Kelly, hold my card. He says, I'll get it back from you. And it was about the 15th of the month, and I told myself then, I said, I know when he's going to want to get it back. I know exactly when he's going to want to get it back, and that's when they post some more money on that car. That's when he's going to want to get it back. So he called me Friday night, and that post was going to go on Friday night. He called me Friday afternoon, and I said, how you doing, brother? He said, fine, how you doing? I said, great, Ginger and I's going shopping. He says, going shopping? I said, yeah, I got a bank card here. It's just burning a hole in my pocket. So I wanted to get that, and I said, I figured you did. He says, well, when can I get it? And I said, well, you can get it tomorrow. You can come to church Sunday. He said, well, he said, I'll like to come by and get it tomorrow. And I said, well, I'll be there on Saturday. I come in at noon to 1 o'clock, and that's all I'm going to be there, noon to 1 o'clock. So he starts calling him at 11 o'clock, and where's Kelly? Where's Kelly? He said, well, he calls me, and I said, well, just tell him I'll be there when I said I'd be there. I'll be there at 12 o'clock. And so I pulled up here about 12:10. And he was in a cab out there waiting. You don't think a cab meter was running, do you? And he's in a cab out there waiting. I give him his card. And I said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. Now, when I give an account to God someday, before that judgment day, it's not going to be about me failing to tell him to come to church tomorrow. That's not what I'm going to have to give an account for. And I'm not going to have to give an account for giving him his card back because it belonged to him. And I'm not going to have to give an account about him going to the dope house. And I'm not going to have to give an account about me telling him don't do wrong. So I'm telling you all, do right, live a Christian life, do the right thing. We're in the middle of the city here where the rubber meets the road. Abstain the best you can from drugs and alcohol, wild women, wild boys, all the bad things in life. Abstain from it. Be a Christian. The gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you believe that gospel, there's no reason whatsoever for you to be lost. You can come this morning and put your faith and trust and confidence in God to save you. Confess your sins. Be baptized into Christ and have your sins washed away. Won't you come now? For sin in your life, you need to become a Christian. You're ready to become a Christian. Won't you come now while we stand and sing?
Jesus, He will save you, though your sins have crimson low. If you give your heart to Jesus, He will make it white as snow. Come to Jesus.
and face the church, please. Kima, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? And I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you go in over here, sister, we'll baptize you right away. Y'all do me a favor, please. We're on the radio, and we're trying to avoid clapping, because clapping doesn't go over on the radio very good unless you got a whole audience clapping, and we don't want to do that. So instead of that, we're going to sing this morning. So Brother Kyle's going to have a song here during the baptisms in a few minutes. And so if y'all would sing with us, we'll welcome these into the kingdom of God by singing. Now, Keith and LaMonica, Sister LaMonica, please stand, face the church, please. Sister LaMonica, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Yes. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. If you wait right here, let's wait till Keith confesses, okay? Keith, we're proud of you. Keith was raised in this church. Keith, do you believe with all your heart that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God?
Yes.
Now I want to repent of your sins and confess Christ as Lord. Say, yes. Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
Amen. These two children are going to be born again here in just a few minutes, and they're going to be married here on September the 4th, on a Wednesday. And so we want to welcome them to the Brotherhood. Keith has joined the Army, and he's going to go in October into the Army. So let the church say amen and welcome in here. Amen. If you go in over here, Keith and LaMonica, if you go in right over there, we'll baptize you right away.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Based on Keith and LaMonica's confession, I now baptize these repentant believers in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sin.
Amen.
Based on Kima's confession, I now baptize this repentant believer in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit for the remission of sins.
All right, amen.
Oh, precious is the Lord.
Oh,